prayer. Nigel's prayers have been with you. We have been on our knees this week praying for this particular location. We know you've been hit by bushfires badly. And, you know, I work, I run an office just next to Gateway Shopping Centre, and we were evacuated there because of fire. I had to make sure that my team was safe, did all of that emergency evacuation plans, got home. Pastor Nigel was home and he said to me, "Honey, there's a fire out the front of our place." I went, "What?" And just sure enough, a few hundred metres from where we live, a fire had started. So I think we've all been affected by fire at the moment, or our hearts are going out to our nation with the bushfires that are ravishing our nation. And at Fremantle last week, I led the church in prayer for our nation to say, "God, bring rain." You know, we sometimes think, "Oh, that's just ridiculous." Well, guess what? After last Sunday, it started to rain. So we've got to keep praying, hey, let's ask God for the audacious. You know, why not? What have we got to lose? I always say that. What's the worst that can happen? Our prayers don't get answered? Oh, well. What happens if they did? It can change the course of history. And my prayer is at this time that for all of us as a nation as well is that it'll bring us to a place where we realize there are things out of our control that we can't control. But at the end of the day, we have a God that is in control. And He is going to look after us. So look, the title of my message this morning is, "I Am Blessed." This is a really simple message. It's a biographical message, if you like. It started, this was actually part two of something I preached on last year when I was here. And for me, it was a biographical story about my journey into, oh, that's cute. My journey from transitioning from being on staff at the church to actually feeling God calling me back into the workplace. Well, actually, a secular workplace, if you like. I was in the workplace. I work very hard as a pastor. Believe me, we work hard. But, you know, I felt God calling me back into non-church work. And I still am a pastor and I still serve. And this year I'm actually running our young adults ministry. And I've just given up 2 years of running our kids ministry even while I've been working. And so I just felt God calling me back to something more bivocational. So I was just amazing. God opened doors for me to work in the federal government. And through that journey, I just talked to you last year about, you know, we sometimes have plans and we think we're going that way. And then God says, "Well, actually, you're going that way." And so how that's so hard for us, isn't it, where we think we've got it all planned out, especially women. We love a five-year plan. I love everything to be perfect. It's like, okay, this is going to happen. You know, over the years, I've talked to young girls and, you know, young women who've said, you know, I want to get married by such and such a date and I want to have three babies by such and such a date and this is going to happen. And who knows that it doesn't turn out like that. It's very different how life turns out. And so for me, I'd applied for a job and I had been accepted for a position and then all of a sudden the goalposts changed and I was, you know, travelling 1 hour and 10 minutes every day and, you know, it was long days and it wasn't the job that I was employed to do and I really had to grapple with how would I respond through those situations. And so through that I saw the hand of God, how God just miraculously opened other doors, and as I just stayed obedient, feeling that that's what He'd called me to, amazing things happened. And so then I was asked to run an office, and so that's where I am at this point in time. So this is part two of that story, and it's talking about I am blessed. And you know, I've probably one of the things that, and you're all going to laugh at me, so I get that. I get you're going to all have a giggle because you're going, "Really? Andrea, is that really your experience?" But you see, because I've worked for 23 years in a church context, you know, I worked with people and I'm still working with people that are passionate about the cause of Christ, that aren't there for the money, and they work long hours. And so, you know, more often than not, their language is one of, they're positive. And yet when I went back into a different work environment, I'm just going to bring this over if you don't mind. I've just got that glare for me. When I went back into, you know, a work environment, a different environment, a non-church environment, it became very aware that not everyone was happy with life. Would you find that's the same in your work environment? Not everyone's happy. You know, I had felt so incredibly blessed to land this great job with the federal government. And, you know, not everyone feels the same way that I felt about, you know, working. And it wasn't long before it became very apparent to me that everyone doesn't feel or didn't feel as fortunate as I felt about having this job. And you know what became very clear, and maybe it's just where I work, but, and I'm not going to tell you where I work, but, you know, people were just complaining all the time about everything. And I just found that people were complaining about so many little things. And I'm not advocating that we work in unreasonable conditions. You know, in Australia we're so blessed that we've got great working conditions. But I found that it had become almost in the organisation that I was working for a culture of complaining. You know, in Australia we have to be careful because sometimes it can almost feel like a national pastime complaining. And so, you know, if we really want to unpack that down, it boils down to, complaining really boils down to a sense of feeling like we're entitled to something and that's not being met, that expectation. What we believe we're entitled to and how we respond when we don't feel those expectations are being met. Now, I'm not just saying that's in the workplace, but it doesn't take too long for you and I to go somewhere else and we hear people complaining. You know, Nigel and I were recently out to lunch with a couple and the wife, she just didn't stop complaining about everything. She wasn't happy with the coffee. She wasn't happy with the food. She wasn't happy with the service. And I actually came home exhausted. I thought that was just awful. And look, the food wasn't the best and the service wasn't the best. But it was just that attitude of complaining all the time. And again, I'm not saying that we put up with substandard food or service. But at what price? What price are you and I willing to pay to get what we believe we deserve? And so we're living in a culture where we expect perfection and excellence all the time. We feel that we're entitled to it. And so I'm here to tell you today that this way of thinking is a cancer in our society. It's slowly killing us. So what's the result of complaining? Ask yourself the question. Does it make you feel any better? Does complaining make you feel any better? For me, no. And the natural nature of our human flesh was always adrift to the negative. You and I will always drift to the negative. We have to work hard at being grateful. And yet when I find I go to that place of complaining, it robs me of my joy. It just seeps out of me. I lose perspective really quickly and I can only see the negatives. So when I started in my new job, I had to decide very quickly how I would choose to respond and what kind of a person did I want to be known for. So I made a choice not to be a complainer. That was hard. It's actually really hard, isn't it? It's actually really hard when everyone around you is complaining and you choose that you don't want to be that person. Because sometimes that actually puts you on the outer. So I am not saying for a moment that that meant I was happy about every decision that was made. Not at all. It actually, complaining won't change the situation. What it does is it alienates us from people. People don't want to be around us when we whinge all the time because we actually become hard work. Nothing pleases people. Does that mean I never complain? Of course not. But I need to be constantly reminded not to complain, not to default to the negative. You see, you and I are hardwired that way because of sin. Adam and Eve thought they were entitled to eat the fruit that God told them not to eat. Think about it. God gave them 99% of everything in the Garden of Eden. 99%. One thing he said, I don't want you to have that. They went, but I want that. I want to be like God. That's what I want. And so how many times are you and I like that? We think there's this sense of entitlement that we're missing out and someone else has got it better than what we have. And we've been thinking that way since the time of Adam and Eve. But I want to tell you one of the oldest secrets in the Bible. If you and I can rewire ourselves with Jesus' help, it will change your life. Not only that, it will give you the access to affecting the change that complaining can't get you to. So what is it? Well, it's the antidote to entitlement, and it's gratitude. Gratitude leads to joy. Joy is heaven sent. It's supernatural. You see, happiness is based on how you and I are feeling today. One day your circumstances are good and you're up. The next your circumstances are bad and you're down. Anyone ever been like that? And you're on an emotional roller coaster. It's emotion driven. It's not Holy Spirit led. See, joy is heaven sent. Circumstances are irrelevant. And it's contagious. It can affect everyone around you. So I've got the largest team in my region. Actually, one of the largest teams in the state I now manage and oversee. And it just keeps growing. My staff, from the Christmas card and the speech they gave at Christmas time, said to me, Andrea, it's just contagious when we're around you. You're just laughing all the time. They said, you've just got such a vivaciousness, was the word that they used. They said, and you tell the worst jokes and you laugh at your own jokes. Why not? You see, the culture of my office before that was very negative. They used to spend a lot of time complaining about the organisation and the management. And I said, guys, we don't do that here. We don't do that here. We're only going to focus on what we can change, and those things we can't change, we're going to park those to one side. Or if you're not happy about something, you come to me with a solution to the problem. Great book I read, I can't remember the name of the author off the top of my head, it was called The No Complaining Rule. The No Complaining Rule was basically what you had to do was you had to come with a solution to a problem rather than just the problem and complaining about it. And so my staff know with me that I won't just go, nah, let's not do that. Because what it does, it's actually like a cancer. It gets into the team, and what it does is it starts to affect everyone very quickly. You think about it. The children of Israel, 1 million people complaining. 1 million people complaining. You're going to understand why God got a bit fed up with them, can't you? I mean, 1 million people complaining all the time. See, it's our secret weapon, church. If we can get God's gratitude on the inside, it can actually impact your future. So how do we do that? Well, firstly, we've got to choose a thankful attitude. This is such a simple message, but it's had such a profound effect on my career advancement in the last 14 months. I've actually been flabbergasted. And it's that simple. We choose a thankful attitude. Scriptures you know well. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is hard. You know, we just it rolls off our tongue, doesn't it? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. No, let's just take a moment. In everything give thanks. It says in everything, not in some things or one thing. It says in everything. You see, I can give thanks about a lot of things, but not everything. Am I the only one? It's true, isn't it? In everything give thanks. How do we give thanks in everything? That is a God thing. That is a choice that you and I make. We have to choose it. We have to make a conscious decision. We will not be ruled by our emotions. It will not be based on how we're feeling, but we are making a choice. God, I am choosing to give thanks in everything. I'm choosing to give thanks in the bad, in the unfulfilled promises, in the awful situations, in the good situations, for the good, the bad, and we say in Australia, the ugly, those ugly things that happen. In everything, I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to thank you. We've had so many situations last year. Our son was headhunted. He's got a low-paying job at the university. He was headhunted by the head of a department to say, Jared, come in. We want you to act in this position, a higher position. He was absolutely flabbergasted and overjoyed. He believed it was the hand of God, the blessing of God. He needed that job because he had a dream. His dream is to get married. You know, and his fiancée, she's a student, he's going to have to support her. So Jared got this fantastic opportunity. He said, no one else in the university has been given this opportunity. We're going to give it to you. For 2 months, you're going to get, if you like, a head up on everyone else before we actually advertise the position. You'll have 2 months of acting in the position. He's only, you know, young guy. This was in his early, he was about 23 at the time. So he worked so hard and they were so pleased with him. He got a lot of positive feedback, even people. He was working with the other university on the East Coast and they were saying, you're doing such a great job, you're working so hard. It came to the time of the job interview. And so there were a few applicants and then he found out that they'd given the job to someone else who had no experience. Well, he was devastated. That meant he had to go from this position right back down to a very low-paying position. And he was like, you know, I was crying. I'm not a crier. I was crying and his fiance was crying and Jared was crying and Nigel's like, I don't know what to do with you all. And we were just so gutted, absolutely gutted that, you know, this is a kid who's grown up in church. He's every week he's in church. He leads the worship. He loves Jesus. And he's just, you know, week in, week out, he's just faithfully served God. And we thought this was his moment where God was going to do the miraculous and just take our breath away. And then it all came crumbling down. And then they said to him, we want you to train the person in the job that you've been doing. Ouch. Ouch. That hurts, doesn't it? Ouch. Come on. So at that point in time, we sat him down and we said, son, you've got a choice to make. You've got a choice that you're going to cop it sweet and have a great attitude, because I can tell you, everyone is watching how you handle the disappointment. Or you can just go, nope, I'm sick of this, I'm going to find another job or whatever. He goes, well, I'm going to choose, and look, this is not all about how wonderful my son is because he's got lots of flaws, believe me. But he said, you know what? I'm just going to cop it sweet. So he actually trained the other girl. And she actually said to him, Jared, I didn't realise she'd actually done a great job. I thought you were just going to cruise for a couple of months until they found a replacement. And so he just went, that's fine, and whatever I can do. And she even ended up going on holiday, and he had to replace her while she was on holidays. But the whole time it was keeping his attitude sweet. Well, there's another part to that story I'm not going to tell you right now. But, you know, what is it, isn't it? You see, we have to choose our attitude. We have to choose how we're going to respond. And I believe that only can be a God thing, because that is not a natural reaction. Our reaction is, that's not fair, I've been faithful. Come on, we all say it. I've been faithful, I've laid down my life for you, God. Where are you in this situation? When are you going to come through in this situation? And then we think the miracle is there. It looks like it's the miracle. And then all of a sudden, it's taken away from us. And we can go, God, that's not fair. And I was just saying, you know, earlier, what I love about David, King David, is that David is so real. You know, if you stay a part of C3 culture for long enough, you will know that we are real. We believe, we sing that song, your will be done. You know, that's a statement. That's not a prayer, your will be done. That is a statement. God said on the cross, it's done, it's finished. You know, we can hold on to those promises then. It's not a question of will he, won't he? It's a question of it's done. God's will has been done. But you know, you and I, we've got to choose that attitude, don't we? We've got to choose whether or not we're going to believe that God's will is for us. It's yes and amen. His promises are good. But we all struggle with that when we think the miracle's there and it gets taken away from us. And that's where we have to stop the emotion. It's where we say, well, I don't feel like it. And what I love about David is he just pours out his heart to God. He goes, this is awful. And God, by the way, just kill him. Take him out. Wipe him out. I mean, come on, we've often said that sometimes about people, haven't we? Like, where are you, God? But David always ends his psalms in praise to God. He gets it out and then he lifts his eyes up to God and say, God, you've got this. You've got this. And you and I, you see, we can go to our emotions and go, it's not fair. You know, I don't feel like it. Or we can go, I'm going to choose an attitude where this is a God moment. This is a choice that I'm making. And I'm going to choose, God, that you're going to make a way through this. And so our son, the second part of the story is our son then spent another probably 12 to 18 months in a very low-paying job. Went to the bank to ask for a loan to build a home because he's, you know, wants to build a home. And three times rejection from the bank. Goalposts kept changing. Yes, pre-approval. Went back to the documents were put in. No, we've changed it. We've changed the parameters. Second time. I mean, just crazy. Second time. Went, met those conditions, went back, changed the goalposts. Third time, had a rejection. We're going, this is just crazy. What's going on? The day he went back to work after the holidays, they called him in and said, we want you to act in another position. Two levels above where he's at now, we want you to act in another position. Came out of left field, wasn't expecting it. And that will get him across the line for the bank. I wonder what would have happened if he'd taken offence, if he'd complained around the office and gone, it's not fair, you mistreated me, I was entitled to that job those few years ago. I just wonder if that would have stopped the blessing of God. But you see, God has many ways for us to see those things come through in our life. There are many ways that God will do that. So you and I need to have thanksgiving in everything. Even when the rejections come, even when the setbacks come, give thanks. You're a good God. I thank you, God, for my life. I thank you, God, that you've got a hope and a future for me. I thank you, God, that even though the situation isn't looking good at the moment, I choose to stand on the word of God because it has been done. It was done at the cross. Father, God loves you and wants a great plan and purpose for your life. But the way that we release the blessing of God into our life is the way that we choose our attitude. Secondly, let me give you the this is the dictionary definition. I think it's the Webster's. Thanksgiving is the act of giving thanks, grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God. An expression of thanks to God, a public celebration in acknowledgement of divine favor or kindness. That's what we're doing today. This is really what church is about, isn't it? It's recentering and going, oh my God, I'm so grateful, Christ, that you died for me. You know, Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. We thank God, plain and simple. Father, God doesn't like spoilt, entitled children. I'm a parent. You know, the red cup, the green cup. Who cares? Just drink the cup, drink the drink. How many times have we as parents done that? Gone, stop wishing which cup you had. But you know what? And this is what the children of Israel, and we can learn from history. The children of Israel didn't get this. God spoke to them before they left Egypt of their promise. He laid it out for them. It wasn't like there was a surprise coming. He said, you're going to the promised land, milk and honey. You've never seen anything like it. But what did they do? They started moaning. Doesn't it sound like your kids? Complaining. Oh, I don't like the manna. Don't like the quail. Where's the water? It's not sparkling, you know. It's too hot. It's too cold. I don't like the clothes that I'm wearing. You name it, they complained. God's no different. He doesn't like spoiled kids. When we think, you know, I mean, think of it as a parent. Christmas comes and we just, the kids rip open their presents and they throw them to one side, and yet you've thoughtfully thought about that present. God doesn't like spoiled kids any more than what we do. So what does he do? He says, okay then, I think you need to learn a few things here. I think you need to learn to be a wee bit grateful. So what does he do? They go around the mountain and around the mountain. For 40 years, they walk around that blooming mountain because they were such complainers. What was it? I think it was only supposed to take a few weeks to get to the promised land. Good grief. We need to learn the lesson quickly to be thankful. The Passion Translation says of Philippians 4:6, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout the day. I love this. Offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing attitude. Secondly, complaining is a form of unbelief. It's a negative confession. Now, I get that we all do it. We all do it. I do it. We all do it. But I think it's quickly recognizing when we do it and pulling ourselves back out of that. You know, it's a negative confession. It's where we're saying, what are we saying? I'm not happy. This isn't fair. Life's tough. And I believe it's a form of unbelief where we actually don't believe the promises of God are going to come to pass. You know, I love this quote. It's an anonymous quote. We don't know who the author is, but it actually says, gratitude turns what we have into enough. What you have right now at this point in time is enough. It's actually enough. It's enough. What you have. Not what you don't have, what you have. What do you have? And this is why we have to enter God's presence with thanksgiving, because he actually says that before we can actually request prayers, we need to come with thanksgiving. He wants us to remember what we have and what he's done first. Because as soon as you start refocusing on what you have and not what you don't have, it changes the landscape. You know, I think back to when I started in this new job, and I think now to where I am, I think, oh my gosh, you've just blown my mind, God. And that's what it does. It's a form of unbelief. Offering our faith-filled requests before God. One of the hardest things to do is to trust God when things aren't turning out the way we'd hoped for. Do you find that hard? I find that terribly hard. Just because it's not happening doesn't mean it won't happen. Rather than complaining, let's go to faith and say, come on, God. Come on, God. Come on, God. We pray it as it is, the Bible says. We don't pretend it's different to what it is. King David, as I said, is our example and model for that. We say that. We say, this is just awful, God. I know there's times where I have prayed and I've said, God, I don't actually think I can get through. I actually don't think I can keep going. Some of these situations have been so painful and heartbreaking. That's the truth. That's how you feel. But then we kick into it. We bring our faith to God. But God, I'm trusting. God, I'm holding on to you. There's been times where I felt that's the only thing I've been able to hold on to. Just said, God, I can't make any sense out of this situation, but I'm just going to hold on. I'm just going to hold on, and we're just going to get through. See, that's what 45 years of being a Christian teaches you, is that you know that sometimes the theology, we all think we've got to get our theology sorted. Sometimes it's just, I'm just going to hold on until it changes, God. You and me, we're down here until it changes. And I'm going to trust you and I'm going to believe you. You know, I've always prayed, Jeremiah, your plans for me are for good and not for evil. And people say, Andrew, but I'm not seeing that breakthrough. I had someone ring me last night and say, Andrew, 15 years I've been praying for this. And people are telling me I should let go of that value. I said, it's not a value. It's the word of God. You know, values come and go. That's what organizations put on their wall. This is the word of God. You've got to know that this is absolute truth. If you believe in the word of God and the hard bits, because we don't like the hard bits, do we? We want to take them out. We want to water them down and dilute them, make it acceptable. But if we actually believe that God's word is truth, well, then we have to believe that he's got a plan for us. And it's good. It's a good plan. And it's going to be Ephesians 3:20. I love the Message Bible at the moment. It says it's going to actually be beyond your wildest imaginations. I can't even think what that looks like, my wildest imaginations. I don't even know what my wildest imaginations would look like. But that's what God wants to do with you and I. Our words affect our future. So since starting my new job, I've had doors opening to me that I never would have if I'd complained. And I've had the opportunity of actually being able to talk to the most senior person in our organisation just because I've gone with solutions to problems rather than complaining about the problems. I was put forward for a second promotion recently, which was very competitive against the whole of the federal government. I went up for this promotion. I didn't even look for it. I was actually asked to apply for this role. Down to the final two. Oh, love it. Oh. I just constantly say to my team, if you work hard and you have a great attitude, you can't help but do well. You just can't. It attracts the favour of God. And you know, I don't work in a perfect workplace. I bet you don't. I don't have a perfect marriage. Far from it. Do I attend the perfect church? No. Kids? Yeah. But you know what? I've just learnt that our words create our world. You know, I often walk around and I'll say to my kids, especially when I'm annoyed with them, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud. I change my language. I change my language. I speak faith rather than tearing down with criticism. And my personality type, I'm a choleric personality. I'm very task-orientated, very outcome-orientated. I can kill people because I'm way over there and they're all back here. And God has taught me through many difficult situations of breaking me that actually people matter more. And that I need to find the good in everyone, which is not hard to do. But it's for me. It's about me changing my attitude, where I choose to see the positive and not the negative. But you can say to me, Andrea, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, I don't. But I guarantee you that no matter how hard it is for you right now, there's someone else who's got it harder. But Andrea, this isn't the life that I signed up for. Me neither. I would have chosen a much easier one. I didn't sign up for all this pain and disappointment. And I think all of us here, if you've been around long enough, know that there's a lot of things that don't make sense. But we keep giving thanks. Everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Even when things aren't going to plan or are terrible, we hold on to God. I want to read you Romans 5, 3 to 5 in the Message Bible. There's more to come. I love that. Doesn't matter how old you are in this room, there's more to come. God is not finished. Nigel went and visited his mum who's 80. And she was telling him that she's going to the kids' camp, the kids' ministry, school holiday camp, and she's the guest speaker. She's 80. She's 80, for goodness sake. We need to know there's more to come. I don't care how good it is right now, there's more to come. I don't care what your situation is now, God's got more for you. There's more to come. We continue to shout out, Romans 5 says, we continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles. Because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us. I love that language, passionate patience. And how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, I'm not sure if I'm there yet, insofar as shouting out our praise when I'm hemmed in with troubles. But it's the person I want to become. The person I want to become is I know, I say it, you know, God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. It is done. It was finished at the cross. Fourthly, how do we get this joy? It's the Holy Spirit is our helper. We've got to be spending time reading His Word and asking the Holy Spirit for the fruit of joy. And the Holy Spirit can't give us joy if we're complaining. He can't get in. It's actually sin. Actually got to examine our hearts and go, God, show me, how do I change my language? And then God can come in and the Holy Spirit can fill us with His joy. And the thing that I find is that when you're out there, this is why we have to be in the presence of God, is because we just need to walk out these doors today and you'll find that there are opportunities, all of us, for situations where people are complaining, where we're complaining. Oh, it's too hot. Oh, you know, they cut me off in traffic. I was ashamed of myself yesterday. I was doing laps at Coogee Beach and I got mad with someone who pushed me into the bollards. I was like, goodness me, there's something wrong with me if I'm going to be grumbling when I'm actually doing things that I love to do. But it's so easy to default to that, isn't it, when we're tired about life. So what we have to do is we have to ask the Holy Spirit, first off, God, forgive me. And then we have to choose out what's going to come out of our mouth. Entitlement is also a sin. You and I, we're not owed anything. God doesn't owe us anything. He died on the cross. He gave it for us. We are saved by grace. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you and I up today with His joy. And just before we finish this morning, I just want a couple of minutes for you and I to reflect on what we complain about. What's the area? We've all got one. Before we do that, and you guys don't have this, I just want to read you this scripture I was reading this morning. I can't get out of it. Out of the Passion Translation, Ephesians 3:20. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream. What's that audacious dream Pastor Nige was talking a bit about this morning? You know, I think when you've not seen dreams come to pass, we stop dreaming. We stop thinking God's going to do it. But this year in 2020, what about you and I start believing and praying unbelievable dreams? Exceeding our wildest imagination. I love that. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Why don't we just right now close our eyes and just spend a few moments in reflection. What is it you spend a lot of time complaining about? And sometimes complaining's fear as well, isn't it? We're frightened. We're not sure if God's going to come through, or if we're going to be looked after. As we enter a new year, why don't we resolve to rewire the way that we view life? And do you know what? Everyone in your office, everyone at your school, at your university, in your mum's group, they're going to notice something different. And you're going to be like a magnet You're going to draw people to you because you're going to be going, but God. Andrea, why are you so happy? Well, I'm a Christian. I can go to God with my problems. You can say that to people. Well, I'm a Christian. I know God's going to bring me through these situations. And you know, when I do fail at work and at situations I have in mind, I'm very honest and say to guys, oh, you know, I shouldn't have done that. Why don't we just spend a moment right now? What is it that you're worrying about? What is it in 2020 that you can just give up to God right now? Maybe like me, you need to just repent. Say, God, or repent as saying, I'm sorry, God. Maybe you need to say, God, I'm sorry. I've been complaining about this person or this situation. I just ask you to forgive me now. What about those of you that are fearful because you're waiting for a breakthrough in a situation, so you're complaining? Let's turn that into a faith-filled request. Because it pleases God, the Bible says, when we come to Him in faith. Faith means we're trusting Him that He's going to make the situation better. Or maybe it's like our son. It won't be what you're thinking, it'll be something else. God's got it. Father, I pray in 2020 it'll be a year of audacious prayers. It'll be a year of believing for the impossible. I pray those people, God, who've been praying for decades for things. I pray, God, that you would encourage them. You've got this, God. You're a good God. You're going to exceed our expectations. Oh, God. Father, we reflect on our past and we see what you have done. We see your goodness and your faithfulness over the years. Thank you, Jesus. It is done.